Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio Network. Here we are in July and efforts to expose massive fraud in the 2020 presidential election and afterward, I'm referring here to the two Georgia U.S. Senate races, continues and remarkably is growing almost by the day. The evidence pointing to the alleged fraud is seemingly everywhere. While we continue to wait and wait and wait for clear and indisputable proof that President Joe Biden, the worst president in my lifetime, was elected illegitimately, real and significant progress continues toward that end. One big indication that the Biden presidency is illegitimate is the lockstep united front of opposition to investigations of the election by our now strongly communist-leaning Democratic Party and their allies, the RINOs, that's Republicans in name only, communists, and globalist oligarchs. If all these investigations turn up nothing, I'll be happy to eat my words and move on. But very few of us 100 million or so Trump supporters that believe that will happen. I'm talking about people who voted and people who still supported Trump even though they didn't vote. That's how many I think were Trump supporters and are still Trump supporters out there in our country, at least. Particularly since no nation, no people on earth have ever willingly and legitimately elected totalitarian communists to rule them. I mean, like I say, very few of us Trump supporters believe that the investigation will turn up nothing because it's hard to imagine that the majority, great majority of American people want a totalitarian communist system to rule them. In Arizona, the nation's first full forensic audit of the 2020 election has completed carefully counting and examination of paper ballots, but battles continue for the auditors to obtain all-important routers and passwords to voting equipment. A complete report of the audit is not expected until at least August, which would be next month. In Georgia, another forensic audit is getting underway. Just like in Arizona, a flurry of lawsuits by opponents seeking to shut it down is ongoing. Perhaps the most significant development in this struggle since our last show is the announcement last week that state legislators in Pennsylvania are preparing to do their own forensic election audit. You know, Pennsylvania, where mail-in ballots were accepted long after Election Day, Republican poll watchers were blocked from watching vote counting, and where analyses by the state and even the New York Times showed some 90,000 new votes, almost all of which were for Joe Biden, suddenly pop into the election count days after Election Day. Wisconsin and Michigan legislators are also looking at doing the same forensic election audits along with other states. It's always a long and slow and very complicated process to launch and conduct these forensic audits, punctuated by furious legal opposition from Democrats, RINOs, and leftist organizations who want everything swept under the rug. All this disputing the election is, quote, tearing the country apart, close quote, they clamor. Although this was strangely no problem when they were constantly screaming that Trump was somehow mysteriously elected illegitimately. Democrats, their close and powerful allies, the communists, other leftists, and the globalist oligarchs with their many billions of dollars worth of sweetheart business deals with communist China, seem to be doing all they can to disrupt, block, and ultimately destroy those people on the political right who have been pushing the key swing states mentioned above to move forward with a full forensic examination of all the evidence supporting election fraud. It certainly is not happening easily, but it is happening finally, and Trump supporters continue to eagerly await results. Part of the political, legal, public relations, and economic war being waged by our opponents to thwart these efforts to expose election fraud is personal and legal attacks on those people contesting Biden's presidency. As I mentioned, isn't it ridiculously ironic that many of the same people who rail daily about Donald Trump being a supposedly illegitimate president during his entire term now insist that such claims and speculation about Biden is tantamount to treason, or at least insurrection, which is almost the same thing, and must be silenced and stopped completely? But again, like I've said before, self-righteous hate, lies, trickery, and outrageous hypocrisy are the stock in trade of the political left. All that matters to them is that they win. The ends always justify the means. Among the latest casualties of this war is President Trump's attorney, Rudy Giuliani. Giuliani, who is a former mayor of New York City and was a longtime and well-respected federal prosecutor, has made many allegations about election fraud, as well as revelations about the contents of Joe Biden's drug-addicted son Hunter's abandoned laptop computer. Now the New York State Supreme Court has temporarily suspended Giuliani's law license and is investigating him over his statements on the election and about sleepy, creepy Joe Biden and his crime family, as Giuliani calls them. As you may know, New York is dominated by the now radical leftist-dominated Democratic Party. Its radical leftist Attorney General, Letitia James, has been conducting a witch hunt against President Trump and is involved in efforts to go after Giuliani as well. Here's some audio from an interview with Giuliani by Newsmax's Greg Kelly on June 27, right after the suspension of Giuliani's law license. Play sound by one, please.
Rudolph Giuliani, one of the most effective prosecutors in the history of this country. He did such a great job. He became mayor of the city of New York, and we all know the job he did as mayor. Time Man of the Year. He led us after 9/11. And now this ridiculous, atrocious ruling from the Supreme Court of the State of New York Appellate Division, temporarily at least, banning him from practicing law in the state of New York. Most of us believe that he has been targeted because of his support of President Trump. The former mayor, Rudy Giuliani, joins me right now. Mr. Mayor, welcome back. How are you? And I'm sorry this is happening.
Well, I'm not very happy about this. I love practicing law. It's my passion. I've done it for 50 years. I've done it for 50 years without, I think, a single complaint ever. I've been involved in some of the most bitter litigation imaginable. Never had charges like this. And I've had my life threatened any number of times for the cases that I brought that I think really helped my country. And I don't appreciate these. I mean, I don't know exactly what I can say and what I can't say. All I can tell you is America is not America any longer. We do not live in a free state. We live in a state that's controlled by the Democrat Party, by Cuomo, de Blasio, and the Democrats. We have a double standard. There's no doubt if I was representing Hillary Clinton, I'd be their hero. I represented my client so effectively that they're trying to get me to shut up, because they know what's going to happen, because they did it. They know what's going to happen in Arizona, and they know what's going to happen in Georgia, they want this mouth shut.
Mr. Mayor, you know what? You're not exaggerating. I believe that this is a dirty plot against you, and here it is. The proof is actually in this 30-page ruling.
Horribly dishonest opinion.
Where they, number one, they are declaring right now that you are a threat. At this moment, you are an immediate threat to the public interest. Right. You, Rudy Giuliani, just sitting there because you're not unifying behind Joe Biden. The country's being torn apart, and that's what they're citing.
Yeah,
the country is being torn apart because of cable news or whatever.
Well, I made all those statements, correct? Mm-hmm. Not a single one of them led to a protest, a riot, an incident, and anything. So obviously those statements do not have the impact of being, of creating danger. These statements were made in, this is all after January 6th. If these statements are so darn dangerous, how come there hasn't been a protest, a riot, the kind of thing we had last summer when the city was blowing up and the Democrats were doing nothing?
No. You are a lawyer. I'm not, but I've read a bunch of documents in my life. This does not read like a legal document. I want to read one portion. The seriousness of respondents, you, uncontroverted misconduct cannot be overstated. This country is being torn apart by continued attacks on the legitimacy of the 2020 election. And our current president, Joe Biden, one only has to look at the ongoing present public discord over the 2020 election, which erupted into violence and insurrection and death on January 6, 2021. These are political observations. This is not a legal argument.
Yeah, can I just make one legal point?
Yeah.
The only reason they're not controverted is they didn't let me controvert them. I never had a hearing. I offered them the affidavits, and they say I supported my statements by saying I got it from an expert. And then I said there's an affidavit available. And then I said the affidavit's available to them. They have never gone to look. For example, there's an affidavit from an expert that says 68,000 underage people voted in Georgia. I repeat it as the expert's statement. I don't know that. Mm-hmm. He's a witness. Like most lawyers, he's a witness. Then they say, I didn't support it because I didn't hand in the affidavit. I offered them the affidavit. My lawyers, who are two former judges, said we couldn't possibly give them all the affidavits. They're that many. Mm-hmm. So we said, anyone you want to look at, you can look at. Now, they don't bother to point that out.
Well, and some of the things they've been doing, by the
way, they're terribly dishonest.
They've been listening to your radio show. I know you have a radio show, and it actually happens to be very good on WABC. And they listen to they're actually quoting things you said to callers. This is not material you said.
And none of the callers went out and shot anybody, by the way.
But you're not, a lot of these statements, you
didn't burn a car.
You didn't say in court. These are things that you said in the public discourse, in the public arena, which I believe is
First
your right.
First Amendment?
Right. As a citizen.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. We want to show you, and since you are such a public threat, the current Attorney General, Letitia James, how she speaks about her priorities during the campaign and since she became Attorney General. Take a look.
I say one name. Trump. That should motivate you.
Stop your vote. Will you sue him for us?
Oh, we're going to definitely sue him. We're going to be a real pain in the He's going to know my name personally.
Running for Attorney General because I will never be afraid to challenge this illegitimate president when our fundamental rights are at stake.
Legal system where even the most powerful in the country cannot use a loophole to evade justice.
We must do our job to ensure that the man currently occupying the Oval Office is held accountable to any and everything he has done.
She's being overtly political with her responsibilities.
And threatening.
And threatening. There is that, isn't
threatening
it?
To the legitimate president of the United States. Right? Donald Trump at the time was the legitimate president of the United States. And she's running for office in a way that should have gotten her disbarred. She's running for office to get one. What is he? She's Javert? She's running for office to get one man. And they don't have it. She never said he committed a crime. What crime are they investigating? They're looking for a crime. Do you know how un-American that is? We investigate allegations of crimes. We don't go search a man's life to invent or find crimes. That's what they're doing to him, and that's what the Southern District is doing to me.
Yeah.
It's an investigation in search of a crime.
To give you an idea of why the left is so threatened by Giuliani, let's listen to some audio from an interview with him by former Trump advisor Steve Bannon on Bannon's War Room radio program, June 28. Giuliani is asked to give his opinion on the various state forensic audits. Please play soundbite 2.
Sure. What are your thoughts about where we're heading as far as what we call the 3 November movement to get to the bottom with the receipts, with hard data, hard evidence, scientifically backed up of what we're going on these full forensic audits, sir?
Well, I think you're going to see in Arizona a very clear demonstration that there were phony votes cast. They're going to show it in a number of different ways. You'll see ballots that were not legitimate ballots that'll be demonstrated by, as he said, forensic analysis. There'll be ballots cast by people that, in one way or another, illegitimate. Either they weren't living in Arizona, they weren't living where they said they were living. They really can't be verified. They may be just identities. They might be dead. They might be just people whose names were made up. You're going to see a whole group of different things that should take you well over, what's the bar, about 11,000, particularly in Maricopa County, where the Democrats had an edge. Atlanta is far worse. I mean, Atlanta, but that I don't mean far worse in the sense that the proof is any better. There's just a lot more of it. They basically in Arizona, they confined their activities to Maricopa County, one or two other places. In Georgia, they really pretty much went wild. And you're going to see much bigger numbers and much more blatant fraud. And then if we can get the one started in Pennsylvania, I mean, that would be.
Whoa, hang on. Rudy, stop. What do you mean if? What is this if? You're Rudy Giuliani, dude. What do you mean if? When? When we get it started?
Well, there's going to be a. I think that's going to be. That's going to be the final battle. They can't stop. They cannot stop Arizona any longer. I do not believe they can stop Atlanta any longer. Pennsylvania is off to a good start, but remember, it's something different in Pennsylvania. We got a Democratic administration. We've got a court in Pennsylvania, a Democrat Supreme Court that already
A Democratic administration that Wolf's approval rating is at 39%. Part of that, obviously, part of it's COVID. The other part is that people are questioning, patriots and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania are questioning what went on in 3 November. We want to get to the bottom of it. We understand we're going to have to put our shoulder to the field and start firing people up. You know Wisconsin's the lowest hanging fruit out there. It's the reason media never talks about it.
I'd do an end run. They want us to go right at Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania could take 2 or 3 months to do. I'd go do Wisconsin. You could do Wisconsin in 3 weeks. Wisconsin's real clear. Wisconsin is really clear. They violated the law of Wisconsin because they don't have the applications. And the applications are required for the vote to be counted. And that, I think, you can demonstrate with a forensic audit very, 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 very quickly. But, I mean, no doubt, let's not take away from these two places. Arizona, just Arizona, is going to be massive. And that's why they're fighting back so hard. That's why they're trying to shut up Trump, shut up me, shut up Mike. They'd love to shut you up, but, you know, they figure that's impossible.
The really frightening thing about the allegations of election fraud is that the evidence for it is so widespread in these key swing states that decided the election, indicating a large, well-planned, and coordinated plot to steal the election. If you've been following the election fraud war, you are aware of MyPillow.com CEO and Trump supporter Mike Lindell's work, just referenced here by Mr. Giuliani, and his work with his team of cybersecurity experts and his videos contending he now has absolute and irrefutable proof that a scheme by communist China and allied conspirators here in the U.S. and other countries hacked voting equipment in the swing states and electronically flipped enough votes for Trump to Biden to throw the election for Biden. And this is in spite of all the evidence of other election fraud committed on behalf of Biden. If we are ever to get to the bottom of all this stuff, take back our country, save our republic, we must track down the people responsible for the election fraud and prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law. For the time being, however, and as I said, most frighteningly, whoever did this pulled it off and were so successful in covering up that the fumbling, bumbling, stumbling Joe Biden, who is in my opinion owned by at least communist China and is essentially a communist Chinese asset, was installed in the White House. Giuliani, if I recall correctly, has said that Joe Biden and his family members have received some $30 to $40 million at least over the years from entities associated with communist China, including communist Chinese spies. It's also my opinion that Biden, who, as one commentator stated, has been primarily concerned with enriching himself and his family, has sold his soul to the communists and globalists. His real purpose is to utterly destroy the USA so that it can be subjugated and taken over by them. The madness of open borders, climate change, staggering deficit spending, the cancellation of almost all of Trump's executive orders, Biden's totalitarian approach to governing, his capitulation to the Communist Chinese Party, Russia, and Iran, and all the other crazy, stupid, and severely damaging things Biden and his handlers and subordinates are doing is all intentional, by plan. Once they got Biden installed as president, that's been his true purpose, and he's pursuing that end with all his faltering strength. You may have heard about the Japanese government official recently declaring that Communist China and Russia are planning for a military sneak attack on the USA, like that of Japan on the U.S. at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, during World War II. These are things we should all be highly concerned about. particularly the fact that there are so many ultra-capitalist globalist business people and corporations that seem eager to destroy the USA and hand it over to become a vassal state to communist China. These evil fools appear to believe that they will somehow retain and even grow their fabulous wealth and continue enjoying all the great freedoms and benefits they have here in America today, while the rest of us become slaves in a totalitarian world dominated by them and their communist allies. Incredible. You may have heard of Berkshire Hathaway Vice Chairman Charlie Munger recently praising the communist Chinese government for silencing Alibaba's Jack Ma, who – Alibaba, the online retailing thing, is kind of like our – I understand similar to Amazon or something, but Jack Ma last year criticized the communist Chinese party for being too restrictive with entrepreneurs and was subsequently subjected to a number of punishments here. The 97-year-old Munger said he wishes U.S. financial regulators were more like those in communist China, according to an article on CNN.com June 30. I believe Munger recently bought about a 20% stake in Alibaba, by the way. And I understand that Alibaba was about to do an IPO, that's an initial public offering. In other words, to open up the stock sale to the public at large. But the CCP shut that down as part of its punishment of Jack Ma. Could it be this IPO might have adversely affected the value of current holders of Alibaba stock? Here's some reaction to Munger's praise of the Chinese totalitarian system from strategic affairs commentator Dave Ramaswamy, again with Steve Bannon on his program on July 1. That's Bannon's War Room program. Play soundbite 3, please.
I want to bring in now Dave Ramaswamy. Dave, you just heard it. I know you're a finance guy. I know you're a venture capitalist. I know you want to talk about India, but I got to ask you about the great find of the National Pulse on Charlie Munger. What's your observations? You know the financial system in China. Talk to us about Charlie Munger sitting there saying, hey, we admire it and we need it here. What do you think, Dave Ramaswamy?
See, I wanted to give the Chinese Communist Party a chance, but unfortunately there are too many red flags. See, what Charlie is saying, it's like the oligarchic party line. They are ideological brethren with the Chinese Communist Party because they want financial totalitarianism, where billionaires and oligarchs can borrow at zero to no or to little cost from the Fed discount window and use that borrowings to finance the purchase of real assets, thereby not only disenfranchising large numbers of Americans, but also disempowering them from a shot at the American dream. I mean, as you mentioned, Steve, they want to convert America into a nationhood of serfs where nobody owns anything. They're going to eat bug flower food, live in a pod which is rented, and be happy. That's what the oligarchs in the U.S. and the West want for us. And they're ideologically, it's a match made in heaven with the Chinese Communist Party, who want the same thing and who have done the same thing in China for the last 7 decades.
This is no joke what he's talking about, what the globalists are talking about. How many of you know about the World Economic Forum, held annually and attended by globalists like George Soros, along with other representatives of business and governments from around the world, including the U.S. and Communist China? How many of you saw the World Economic Forum's video put out last year stating that within the next 10 years, quote, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy, close quote. This video on planned massive redistribution of wealth, except for the wealth of those of these elites, of course, caused such an outcry. One website called it a, quote, blueprint for tyranny, close quote, that the WEF took the video down from the internet. But it clearly shows what the world's elites have planned for us. With all the depressing news about the growing power and influence of communist China in recent years, thanks in large part to investments and support from our uber-capitalist elites, there appears to have been a very significant event that occurred in recent months that could be a geopolitical game-changer. This rumored event is the defection of a top CCP spymaster, identified as Dong Jinwei. I'm not the greatest pronouncer of Chinese names, but that's how I see her. He was a deputy minister of state security in communist China, and he is believed to have defected to the U.S. earlier this year. If true, Dong Jinwei could be the highest level defector ever from the People's Republic of China. One of the first to break this story was the website redstate.com. If the reports are true, the defector has brought a wealth of data with him about the CCP, including the involvement with the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm sorry, including its involvement with the COVID-19 pandemic and contacts with and payments made to U.S. business people. I thought I had read also or heard that the defector went to the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency, DIA, that's D as in defense, DIA, because he knew about CCP spies embedded in the FBI and CIA. Let's listen to audio from independent journalist David Zhang's report and extensive analysis of the CCP's reaction to these reports from to these reports of the defection on Zhang's Talking Points program on YouTube, June 21. David Zhang, who I believe is ethnically Chinese, is obviously studied the CCP intently and has great insight into its workings and activities. He frequently reports on events and activities in communist China and has recently put out an outstanding video series on the critical strategic importance of Taiwan and why we must not let communist China invade and take over Taiwan. On his video program, Zhang displays a photo of the defector and explains that almost all information and photos of the defector have now been taken down off the official CCP websites. Zhang also discusses the very damaging information the defector is reported to have handed over to U.S. authorities and its significance for future U.S. CCP relations. Play soundbite 4, please.
Good evening and welcome to Talking Points. Now, remember that Chinese defector story? So, rumor has it now that we might know the name of the secret defector working with the Pentagon. Well, allegedly. And he might be holding on to secret information on the origin of the COVID virus. News media, of course, picked up the story right away, making this a big case to consider. And as of 10 days ago, we became aware that a certain top-level Chinese personnel had been working with the Pentagon. And now, new information suggests that he is a Chinese spy master. Well, now a former Chinese spy master. His name is Dong Jinwei. Now, we call this a rumor because it's not fully confirmed yet. And if true, it would explain the sudden shift in the Biden administration. It would also explain much of the sudden shift from the media. Now, one of the most probable reasons is actually the overreaction from the CCP. Perhaps this is the most notable story so far. And the evidence I am about to list out in this episode might just convince you that this actually has a lot of grounds. And if this is true, that means the United States and China, after the ongoing trade war, the military competition, the tech competition, might be in a James Bond movie, some type of Mission Impossible, a spy game. And if this defector is truly working with the United States, can you imagine what type of repercussion it would have on everyone involved? Soon after, Red State broke the story. Australian News and Sydney Morning Herald both picked up the story, as well as the Daily Beast. They also wrote on this too. But at this moment, major corporate media haven't picked it up. Now let's break this down. So Red State's a conservative news outlet reported it about 2 weeks ago. They claim a defector is working with the U.S. Pentagon. 2 weeks ago, we had no idea that this was even plausible. It sounded like something out of a movie. But last week, June 16th to be exact, someone on Twitter pointed out that the information on a man named Dong Jinwei has been erased. Chinese Twitter users began to spread this information, and it quickly caught English translations, and various mainstream reporters began to retweet this information. Keep in mind, in this picture, it might not actually be the real Dong Jingwei. Now, Dong is the Vice Minister of State Security, and the evidence backing Dong being the defector is unusually plausible. Not because we have actual evidence suggesting that or pointing him being one, but actually, from the CCP's reaction, it's quite abnormal. So abnormal that it's digging its own grave trying to clear the rumor. Here's how we will approach the analysis of this story. First, we will discuss the CCP's reaction to the story, and then we will discuss the US's reaction. Okay, let's look at the CCP's response. This is actually the most reactions the CCP has given in recent decades over a rumor. Listen to this. After this rumor of Dong Jingwei defected with his daughter, this was spreading, Chinese news outlets published a report. It detailed Dong Jingwei participating in an event on June 18th. Of course, it's an attempt to make clear that Dong did not defect. In this event, allegedly Dong said that the country needs to improve counter-spy operations and find the moles inside the CCP. Now here's the interesting part. The language used in this Chinese report is quite interesting. It sounds like it's sending someone a message. Why would you use the word mole in a one-party system? Who is the mole? Is it referring to Dong Jingwei himself? Does that mean he actually defected then? But then, two other reports on the same event failed to mention his name at all. Here, the Global Times and China News just mentions the associated officials, not Dong's actual name. Now, of course, it is very possible that he did attend this event, right? Well, it's very strange that the CCP would not include a picture of him speaking at the event. Because, per the usual way of doing things, the CCP would use every photo ops to display their achievements. And this one didn't have any photos. This is very strange. Now, if we take a closer look at this report, these three reports were all written and published at different times. In fact, one after another. Both of the reports, after the first, fails to mention Dong Jingwei by name. And they came out later than the first. But the first report, which mentioned his name, came out at around 3:57 p.m., while the latter two came out at around 4:04 and 4:16 p.m. respectively. It's almost as if they wanted his name to appear in the first report. Now, it is worth noting that the later two reports were posted by CCTV, which is the top state media. Now, it is obviously very unlikely that the editors of both the later reports have coincidentally changed the text in the report without permission, let alone word for word. So the only explanation I can give you for this is that the first report didn't get changed on time before it was published, and now it's too late to change. But what is the point of us discussing this detail? Because among the CCP's propaganda system, CCTV's status is obviously higher than that of the other stations. We should believe the CCTV report to be the most authentic, well, based on state media. But it doesn't have the name of the official who defected. So if it's more accurate, this would indicate that Dong was not there. But from this alone, we see that there is a huge discrepancy between the versions of the report. It means that there's a degree of disinformation here on what exactly is the truth, which again, just makes things even more suspicious. Han Lianchao, who originally posted this information on the man named Dong Jingwei, he worked at the Foreign Affairs Office of the CCP, so he is considered an insider. Because this information was so explosive, Han Lianchao says to be careful with this rumor. Now let's go back to the CCP side. On June 18th, the same day these reports came out, Chinese leader Xi Jinping had his cabinet do swear allegiance and to never defect. During a tour of the CCP's History Museum, Xi Jinping led the party officials to their bloody oath to the Communist Party. And now keep this in mind, this is the same day, June 18th. The state media reported that Dong Jingwei attended an event on June 18th. So right on the same day, Xi Jinping would lead an oath of allegiance to never disobey the party or to defect from the party. Isn't this the most strange thing to do? Days after a rumor of the defector is spreading and now is a coincidence that two events would happen on the same day. The alleged defector attended an event, without a photo op by the way, and Chinese leader Xi Jinping swore to never disobey or defect from the party. What is even more unusual than this is that the CCP recently reviewed a case from 1931. This case, 223, describes a defector named Gu Shengzhang, who defected in 1931. Now, why would the CCP visit this one particular case? Out of the thousands of defectors over the years, why would the CCP need to revisit this one? One possible explanation is that the position was held by this defector back then is almost equivalent to the position held by our defector today, which is in the Ministry of Security. Once again, these are all on very unusual signs and actions done by the CCP to try to dispel the rumor. If it was that simple, that story was in fact some rumor, why did the CCP go through all this trouble and effort just to clarify itself? Let's just stop here and briefly review the information so far. The Pentagon works with the defector. Now we know it might be a top Chinese spy master. His name is Dong Jingwei. He holds information on COVID. Since February, at least, sources believe that he has been working with the United States. But the Biden administration didn't actually know until late April or May. The CCP's overreaction and their attempts to dispel this rumor backfired. And it actually makes the case even more compelling and stronger for a defector. Now, this is a bit unusual, but let's move on to the actual evidence. First, if we search the CCP's directory, his name and portrait have all been removed from the official page. If we use the Chinese search engine like Google, called Baidu, to search his name, we can find almost all of his resume and information blocked. Now, you can still occasionally see a little past report on him, but Dong Jingwei's photos are not searchable. The CCP is like, yeah, there's definitely no one that defected. We're all just taking his information and picture down and, you know, because of housekeeping? Who knows? But this is certainly not normal. The only way to explain this, the only reasonable explanation for this, the blocking of his resume and photos, is of this current vice minister of the Ministry of State Security, who took office only in 2018, is that something has happened to him. Because if someone's photo disappears, they either got in trouble with the state or they left the party in some way. Now, look, for all we know, this defector could be someone else. I mean, the CCP often makes top people disappear too. Like this recent death of the top nuclear scientist in China, who mysteriously fell from a 10-story building to his death. I don't know, maybe he ate too many apples and fell to his death, like a true Newton experience. Or maybe a sudden case of trip over his balcony. Relative gravity, right? Physics, you know. You never know, these things happen so randomly that the CCP, of course, would never kill anybody, right? Anyways, back to the story. Now, what I was going for is, if we go search for Dong Jingwei, we will actually find two Dong Jingweis. Both are high-ranking officials from the same province, but one was born in 1951, and the other, the later one, the one that actually allegedly defected, was born in 1963. Now, the latter is the former head of the Hebei Province Department of State Security, which is the same as a U.S. equivalent of a state-level official. And he was only promoted to the Vice Minister of State Security in charge of counter-espionage in 2018. Basically, the person who allegedly defected from this position was promoted to from a state-level position to a federal-level position. And the second evidence comes from the official website of the China Law Society. In the current leadership section of the website, you can see that Dong Jingwei holds the position of the vice president of the society. If you click on the president, secretary general, or other vice presidents, their photos and biographies are there. But for Dong Jingwei, you can only see his biography. No more photos. But someone saved this photo in time, so this picture is the most credible of him at the moment. Now, of course, it's actually quite common when the officials use the words officially dispelled rumor to contain a special meaning in China. Because in most cases, an officially dispelled rumor is not the same as a denial of a rumor, but the opposite. It is generally seen by the mainland public as a confirmation of the rumor. Sounds crazy, right? This is the most illogical thing to think about. Yet in a twisted society like modern China, it is rather true. Because people have been so used to the lies by the CCP officials, they have learned to automatically convert lies into the truth or turn it around. Maybe hear the words and turn it the opposite way for the truth. So let's pause again and review. So rumor has it, Dong Jingwei, the alleged spymaster of the CCP, defected. All his past information has been erased on Chinese search engines. His photos are all taken down. Now, perhaps another key information to note here is that Dong Jingwei belongs to the part of Xi Jinping's faction. In 2018, he was promoted from a state or provincial level position to the vice ministry in the security. This defection is actually a huge blow to Xi Jinping. This is actually really good for those in opposition from Xi Jinping's faction. In the CCP, there's a huge faction war that has been happening since Xi Jinping took office in 2012. In particular, Xi Jinping's anti-corruption campaign in the earlier years was targeting the old factions of the previous administration. In particular, the Jiang Zemin faction. So this defection is no joke. It is a big problem for Xi Jinping. And it's also worth noting that within the party, everyone knows who belongs to which faction. So there's no blurred lines as to who belongs to who. Okay, so we have just focused on the CCP side. And now let's talk about the American side of the story. Now we know the original story came from Red State, and Spy Talk also picked up the story. Spy Talk reported that this came out on June 17th. And Red State's report also came out on June 17th, at precisely 8 p.m. Eastern time. The reason why I specified the time is that, according to the time difference, the CCP's media reported the rumor at around 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. on June 18th. And because of the time zone differences, it was actually the U.S. side that broke the news first, and the CCP later dispelled the rumors. So the U.S. media reports a high-level official who holds key COVID information. They had been working with the DIA, which is the Defense Intelligence Agency, inside the Pentagon. And it was reported that this person had been working with the DIA for about 3 months now, and since as early as February. Now the question is, where is Dong right now? We actually have zero idea. The report cites independent sources confirming that this high-level defector is indeed Dong Jingwei, who has the counterintelligence work. And he flew to the United States in mid-February of this year, saying that he was visiting his daughter at a California university. And when Dong Jingwei arrived in California, he reached out to officials at the DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, and told them of his own defection plans and the sensitive information he had brought with him. About 2 weeks later, Dong disappeared into DIA custody. What is interesting is that Dong Jingwei, who he chose to contact and who he chose to avoid with his life at stake, is speaking volume. That said something about his knowledge in spy work, which validates his experience working in the counterintelligence field and the Ministry of Security. This report then says the reason that Yang Jiechi, the Chinese diplomat, was so mad in Alaska displaying the wolf warrior diplomacy was because he asked the U.S. to return Dong Jingwei during that conversation. Of course, Back then, Secretary Blinken did not refuse, and because he didn't know that Dong Jingwei had defected at the time. So he sort of outright denied the existence of this man. And during this time, the DIA has been reviewing the terabytes of data provided by Dong Jingwei. And it was only in the last 3 to 4 weeks that people outside of the DIA became aware of Dong's existence. This would explain why Secretary Blinken and the rest of the Biden administration suddenly switched their view. It would also explain why the liberal corporate media finally decided to seek out the lab theory again. According to Red States, these are the most important part of the defector's data. The first is information on the CCP's special weapons systems, including biological weapons, and the CCP's military involvement in the operation of the Wuhan Institute of Virus Research. The second, important information related to the origin of the virus and the early pathogenic research of the virus. Number three is models developed by the CCP to predict the spread and the damage of the pandemic to the US and the world. Number four, a detailed listing of which organizations and governments funded the CCP's research on this virus and other biological warfare research, including relevant financial records. Number five, a list of US citizens who provided information to the CCP. Next, number six, a list of CCP spies working in the United States or attending US universities. Dong Jingwei's intelligence indicates that at least one-third of the Chinese students attending U.S. universities are affiliated with the CCP military or a part of the Thousands Talents Program, which is a program to recruit foreign or maybe Chinese students who possess extraordinary talents can be used by the CCP. And many use pseudonyms, one of the main reasons being that many of these students are descendants of senior military and party leaders. Number seven, financial records of U.S. businessmen and government officials who received funds from the CCP government. Number eight, details of meetings, maybe unknowingly between U.S. government officials and CCP spies, and numbers of Russian National Security Service. Number nine, how the CCP government gained access to the communication systems of the CIA, resulting in the deaths of dozens of Chinese people who cooperated with the CIA. This one's pretty big. And number 10, Dong Jingwei also provided the DIA with copies of the contents of Hunter Biden's laptop hard drive, showing information held by the CCP about Hunter's pornography problems and his and Joe Biden's past business dealings with CCP entities. In addition, the documents provided by Dong Jingwei reveal how the sales of Hennage Automotive's Holdings Incorporated and its stealth technology to AVIC, which is a large state-owned enterprise with a military background, was approved. Now, if we really think about these 10 points, none of it might be too new to us. All these have been previously covered by either us or other media. In fact, more details from these comes from the fact that it was confirmed and provided by a CCP official. Now, if all of this is true, that means the United States is on track to level the playing field with the CCP. And that is huge. The value of Dong Jingwei is that his big part of the intelligence comes from the confrontation between China and the United States. The Chinese Communist Party's advantage will soon be lost. The US is moving from the catch-up game on this all of it now to an equal position on information. And the first major type of intelligence we see is the objective reality that is happening and is constantly being confirmed by various media and experts digging up evidence. In other words, at least from the exposure of these Dong Jingwei intelligence, most of them are based on objective facts. So far, I don't think any of this we are saying is based on some sort of a conspiracy theory. And now it seems that this timing and the rumored flight of Dong Jingwei are able to fit together. So really, Dong Jingwei's defection is not yet confirmed, but the case is speaking for itself already. You decide on what is the truth.
Well, as you heard, there's a lot of evidence that this rumored high-level CCP defection is a fact. It'll be fascinating to see how this plays out on the world stage in the coming months and how it will affect the Biden administration. Obviously, if true, the defector's life is in danger. Let's hope and pray that there are still enough patriotic Americans in our government to protect him and his daughter. And don't forget to boycott communist Chinese-made goods. I don't mean any harm to the Chinese people, but do whatever you can to help us, in the words of former Trump economic advisor Dr. Peter Navarro, decouple from these totalitarian monsters, the CCP. Buy American-made goods whenever you can. I know, sometimes virtually all of the manufacturers of an item you want to buy are in mainland China. I have a lot of communist Chinese-made goods, some from American companies, using the Chinese manufacturing facilities. But now I do all I can to only buy American manufactured goods. Also, if your pension fund has investments in communist China or their companies, write, call, and pressure them to divest from those entities. Do the same for your city, state government's investments and the company you work for, etc. The survival of the American Republic is at stake. That's it for another show. As always, we hope you found its content of value. We'll be back 2 weeks from today in this same time slot. You can listen to the show as a podcast on our program page for The Jim Benson Show. That's The Jim Benson Show on the bbsradio.com website in a couple of days. Have a great rest of your day and evening.